Welcome to Beyond the Chutes, is presented by Parasite Systems. BTC is on the road again. We are in Saint-Tite, Quebec, Canada. Western Festival de Saint-Tite, 56 years. It all started in 1968. We're here in this beautiful recording studio that they have. I'm Doug Simcox. I'm your host, and I've got two very special guests sitting on the couch with me here today. I've got Mr. Dale Yerrigan, president of the IPRA.
Thanks, Doug. Good to be with you
again. And we've got a guest here today. And man, this cowboy's been all over the place, all over the world. He's been there, done that. Mr. Roger Lacasse, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir, to invite me to here.
It's great to have you on. When I got to Saint-Tite, Sylvan says, who do you want to record with? Number one name?
He said Roger
Lacasse. I said, Roger, we've got to get him on the show. So you're from Mirabel?
That's correct, yeah.
Mirabel, Quebec.
Quebec.
Which is how far from Montreal?
From Montreal, it's about 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes north, from Montreal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. You've competed here many times in this rodeo arena. You've won this rodeo many times. What do you think?
I think it's one of the great rodeo I have been to, you know. I mean, the only one rodeo I think beat that rodeo is the Brazil one, you know, or just 65,000 people are sitting there just like down here. I mean, when going crazy and the music is loud and the people are real loud, and it's warm for cowboys, you know. It's something warm.
Well, we want to get to Brazil. We'll get there, okay?
You bet.
But I want to start at the very beginning. Imagine, take us back to the earliest memories. Take us back to the beginning of Roger.
The beginning, I was a little kid, you know, and my uncle have a farm, you know, and you have a little pony in there. And then the horses, I thought the horses were like, I always have highs on horses, and it was something interest me, you know. And then I asked my uncle if I can get on the pony and things. And he said, sure, you know, he's got a halter on him. He said, just put a straw bale around him and he'll be okay. And my dad just went and hit his ass with his hand, you know, and that pony just went right to the front. But he have like a, what do you call that, to put your clothing,
clothesline.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I hit the clothesline right on my hand, and then I flipped to the horse, that pony, and I went down. And I said, I want to get on again, you know. And my uncle said, that little kid, he wants to be cowboy or something, you know. And that's when the passion come to the horses, you know.
Okay.
And I think horses, you know, are so big, and a human being can, you know, control it. And I think I was just like phenomenal to be with horses.
Yeah. So did you get your own horse growing up?
No, not really. You know, at the beginning, you know, like I was working for a farmer, you know, he have a lot of cows, you know, I was making cows and he have a couple of horses, you know, but the horse is always on a box and he's never used it much, and I ask him if I can use it and things. And that's when I start riding horses a little bit. And after works, you know, I went to a dude ranch, you know, to be working in a dude ranch and there for a couple of years, you know, and then that's when I started and then I fall in love with horses.
With the horses.
That's where I started.
Where was the dude ranch?
The dude ranch was in Laval, Quebec, Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so at the dude ranch, you're riding horses, you're giving, you're trail riding.
I was a trail riding, you know, kid, yeah. And then. That's what I was doing, you know, for a few years. And then I went to another ranch, and it was like to start training horses. And I got one of my best buddy was a horse trainer, and end up with him and trained a lot of horses, like reining horses. And yeah, and that's when I started training horses. And
so we had reining horses.
Yeah.
And you were training at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you at this point?
Then I was like probably 17, 16, okay. 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're riding horses with him. Is he showing horses?
He was showing horses, yeah.
Yeah.
He
traveling
was older
with
than me
that.
Like a few years, so he was showing horses, like riding horses.
Okay. Yeah. And did you start to compete at that point, horse showing?
No, I was not compete. I was just training horses, you know, and be beyond the scene kind of deal. And and that's when I started. And then he showed somebody come and bring me to a rodeo one night, you know, like I was an indoor rodeo in the winter time. And that's when I went to see a rodeo, and I went to see the bull riding in the Bronx and all that kind of deal. And it kind of impressed me. And then I started doing the Gymkhana. Like down here in Quebec, we have a lot of Gymkhana. That's where I started competing at it.
Okay.
I was like doing the pickup riding and exchange cowboys and on the horses and all that.
Yeah.
And after I see the rodeo, I see, wow, look at the bull riding and things. And I said, I would love to try that. And a few weeks after, I went and get on one, you know.
Okay.
And he never told me I have to get on two, you know. I was like back to back on the bareback horses. And then I start to get on, you know, like I get on my first one and say, you get another one after. But I never hear the whistle. I just stay on just to, you know, just be tight on the horse. And and he said, you got another one. And both horse, and I win $35, you know, my first time in rodeo.
Yeah.
And after, it was like a little harder to start learning how to ride bucking horses.
Okay. So at that point, you didn't have your own gear. You didn't have any of that stuff.
No. Just somebody just let me have it. And then I fall in love with it, you know. And 4 months after, I was riding barebacks, bulls, and broncs, you know. And I was doing the Gymkhana, too. Like I was kind of I was always in the arena, you know.
Yeah.
I was announcing my name to going to ride. So my tongue was pretty long that time, you know.
Like
I was always, you know, being in Reno and to work at all the even and quit all the Gymkhana deal, and I decided to do the rough stock deal.
Yeah. Okay. And from the Gymkhana stuff, the rescue ride and the pickup and the Pony Express, the exchange, all of that, any of that transfer, any of those skills transferred to rodeo?
Yeah, I think so. If you have to have the nerve to do it, you know, and if you have that already, well, you're ready to jump on a rough stock kind of deal, you know, because you're already, you know, familiar with horses and things. So I think a guy can do it afterwards.
And you had that nerve?
I think I did have it.
Did you? All right. And how old would you have been at this point, Roger?
I was 18 years old, 17, 18,
Okay.
Yeah.
So just and rodeoing in Quebec?
Yeah, I was rodeo in Quebec for probably 2 to 3 years, and then we started going south, you know, like in Pennsylvania, Virginia, and all those kind of on the state, you know, close to Canada kind of deal. Yeah.
And who were you traveling with back then?
I was traveling then with Frank Gauthier. It was a bareback rider too, and Bidge Royale, you know, so we three guys was riding bucking horses, so we start traveling together,
Came down road, IPRA stuff, APRA?
Well, then I was ARA, I guess.
ARA.
Yeah, I was ARA, exactly,
So some of Sam's stuff?
Yeah, exactly,
Okay. So you're traveling with these guys 3-4 years. When do you make the decision to go west? How'd that come about?
Well, you have a guy who was riding Bronx. His name is with Dan David, you know. And everybody was looking a little bit on Dan because he was the guy who can ride Bronx pretty good. So, and he phoned me one time and he said, Roger, I'm at the West, you know, and we all knew he was there. And, you know, he asked me, he said, I think you should move, Roger, and come and compete up here, you know. And that's when in 1988, I started to move to West, you know, to go and compete over there.
Okay. Spoke no English.
No English at all.
So how did that
go?
Like
you can say right now, I'm still losing it a little bit.
No, you're speaking very, very well. So you went, and what were you working at that point? What was your job? Did you have a career?
No, at the beginning, I was like, I don't know what you call it, you know, like cleaning the horse, the stall, and all kind of deal.
Okay,
And then I went with a farrier, you know, and started shoeing horses. And before I left, that's what I was doing it, shoe horses.
Shoe horses.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did that for about 5 or 6 years.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And that worked well with rodeo?
Yeah, it was working well because, I mean, I can take the weekend off, you know, like on the weekend we don't shoot many horses, so we're just doing it during the week.
So out and about, when did you get involved in the Canadian Professional Rodeo Association?
Well, I moved, like I said, in 1988 in Alberta, and I went to the amateur circuit for a couple of years, and I have a permit to fill up my pro card then in a CPRA.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year, like, I went there in the amateur circuit, and the contractor, you have contractor, was supplying stock for the CPRA pro rodeo, and you have those guys was in the amateur too. And he was saying, Roger, you're stealing the money to all the young kids, you know. He said, you should go pro, you know. And then start to try to win my card, and it'll take me a year and I filled up my card, and then that's when I took my pro card.
Okay. So when you got out there, you had to ride different than you'd been riding here?
I have a little bit. Well, you have to learn a little better, you know, and ride a little better and be more aggressive. What are you doing? And times came to get better a little bit.
Yeah. And how did you get better? Just by traveling? Schools?
No, but like bareback riding was like one of my weakest even. I was riding bulls and started running way better than the bears. And bull riding was like my even. And I said I'll quit the bronc riding and the bull riding for 1 year and get better in the bareback riding. So that's what I did, you know, in 91. So I was riding pro all three of them. And then I quit the bull riding and the bronc riding just for 1 year. And I got better, way better in the bareback riding. So I came back in the bull riding. Like I went $3,500 and run rodeo in the pro rodeo at Wayne Boat. And bronc riding was 74, but I have no, my heart was not beating, you know, no more craving at it, you know. And the bareback riding, I still have the craving after the age that I am right now. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoy it, you know.
Okay. So drifted away from the bull riding, the saddle bronc riding, focused on the bareback riding. Schools, or, I mean, were you traveling with somebody? I mean, how do you up your game? Because now you're in the big, big leagues.
Well, I was watching TV from home, like in Quebec when I was younger, and my idol was like Stevie Donham and Robin Burwash, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
Guys, you know, win the 50,000 a few times, and I was looking at television, look at those guys, and when I got there, jumping the pro, and those guys was there, and... And that was funny because I got a picture. One is flanking my horse and one is pushing the head out, you know. And I was both of my idol, you know, when I was young. And I was a pro rodeo. And then when he see my glove, he said, oh, Roger, we'll bring you a new glove because that glove you have is dangerous. Because at home we were riding at that time with the big bubbles on her hands, you know, mm-hmm. with a glove. Mm-hmm. And then those guys, the week after, he came and bring me a new glove. And then that's when I started. And I start travel with Robin and those guys. And
oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. That was very nice.
Yeah.
Those guys took me on the wings, you know, to get me where I went to.
What year was that, Roger?
I was about 92, 93 then.
Would that be the breakout year, the year you started to put it all together?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 91, that's my first year I made the CFR. So,
okay.
Yeah, it took me, you know, like I said, 2 years in amateur. And then 91, I was like, got my pro card. And at 90, I mean, I have my pro card. And 91, I make the CFR.
Okay.
First line.
And you went on to qualify for that 14 times?
That's right. That's correct.
Canadian Finals
times.
Rodeo?
Yeah.
Still shoeing horses at this point?
No. I was not speaking English at all then, you know, and I was hard to explain to people what to put underneath their feet or her horses. And then so I went to work, you know, for one guy's doing some roofing, and I was asking how much money he was making a day and things. And I said, well, I think it's probably better than shoe horses. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to jump on that work.
So toting shingles up the ladder.
Exactly.
In the hot weather.
And the hot water, yeah.
In shape? Got you in shape?
Get me in really good shape.
Yeah.
I mean, shingles, our days is 80 pounds, and that time was probably 65 pounds, you know, our shingles. And when you put the 80 packs on the roof, you know, in the day, your shoulder is just a little sore a little bit. But it's a lot of work, and it's probably give me a chance, you know, because on the roof, you know, you never stab, you know. I mean, you're always moving, you know, and your feet are not straight, and your back is bent, and your knee and all that. I think it's given me a good scale, you know, to ride bucking horses.
Yeah. And afraid of heights?
I was really afraid of heights.
And how'd you overcome that?
Well, you know, after a while, you know, just to get to the high, you know, just I was pretty scared, but sooner or later, you lose it, you know.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're traveling with Robin Burwash and that crew, coming into the States, just staying in Alberta, where are you traveling?
No, we're traveling a little bit everywhere with Robin in 92, you know, in 92 or 93, something like that. And, he bring me to the state. Like, Robin is making the NFR. He probably went there 16 times in the national finals. So he was really popular. And that's the guys, you know, I said, you know, I travel with a few Canadian cowboys. And after many years, like 95, 96, you know, I decided to go to rodeo with American cowboys, you know, because I learned, you know, like I travel with the old Joe Lodge, Billy Lee, And after with Robin, but before I was with Robin and Bill Boy. So I learned from the guys from the West. And when I went south to traveling with Cowboy from south, and the guys from the West was kind of a little shock for them, you know. So I was going south, you know.
Okay.
Just, why
okay.
don't you travel with us, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just want to learn, you know, because yeah, it's nice in life to learn for somebody, but yeah, it's nice to go and see somewhere else, you know, where you can get better at something, you know,
you
because
bet.
Like Robin, I took his art from him because he did never double grab. He never bucked off. The guys, he just have lots of hearts. I said, take a heart from him and take an experience from another guy, you know, and more you taking from learning from guys to guys, but you get all that together and then you can make something out of it.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. And was 97 the year?
97, yeah.
That was the year.
That was the year.
So
98 was the best year.
98 was the best. The
best ever, yeah. You
but take 98. Us through 97 first.
97 was not a good... I was a good year, you know, but the greatest year was 98. Like, I win the 50,000.
98 you won Calgary.
I win 98. All I won the Canadian Championship. I win Cheyenne, Wyoming. I win San Antonio. I won a bunch of rodeo in that year, and I was great. I was like... In July, I was number one in the world, you know, and finished 16, missed it by $160, you know.
Missed the finals,
the NFR.
NFR
of 165. Yeah, I ended up three times 16. Like, I was in the top 20 for probably 18 years, I'll say, you know.
Wow, wow. And who were you traveling with in 98?
In 98, I was traveling with Brian Hawk and Chris Harris.
Chris Harris.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And traveling with them, what was that experience like?
It was a good experience. I mean, you know, different thinking, you know, like guys from Alberta have different thinking, that American are different thinking. And I was a French people with a different thinking too. So end up they'll make all those thinking together, make somebody out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And your next big year, 2004?
2004 was a great year too. I mean, I win the Canadian Championship. I was like 44 years old, but I have some good years. Like 95, I win the Air Hand in Canada, and you know, I have great finals to the 14 years I've been there. You know, especially on Sunday. That's why I was always thinking if I could go to NFR. And those guys like Marvin, Deb Green, all those guys here. You know, if Phil Rogers make the NFR, man, he'll have a chance at the average because. More like we have 6 rounds at the CFR and the NFR you have 10 rounds and after 4 to 5 rounds everybody start putting some ice on our elbow and knee or whatever, you know. And me, more I get sore and more I get aggressive and better I was riding, you know. So and I've been 14 times at the CFR and I think I win 10 times on Sunday the last go around, you know. So
yeah.
More I was riding, I think better I get.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And even though you're getting sore, it doesn't matter. Keep
doesn't
rocking.
Matter. More I got sore, better I was riding, okay. It looks like, okay. For me. Either.
And from what I saw, you in 2004 at the CFR, you won the first, you won 3 of the 6 rounds. You
Four first, 1 second at the 6 rounds.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like $48,000, almost $49,000.
That's right. That weekend. Yeah, $49,000.
And then $14,000, I think, for winning the championship.
That's right.
So tons of money.
Oh, 50-something thousand. I got out of there with the rings and trophies and watch and things. And that was real nice, yeah.
And then what?
And what?
And then what?
Well, afterwards, I said, yeah, you know, I already bought a house back in Quebec because my family was from down here. Like my wife was from down here. So I decided, you know, to move back from the west to back to the east. And then decide, you know, just I'm going to go in the IPRA because the IPRAs exist a long time ago. When I was your kid, I was riding ARA, but he did have the IPRA.
Yep.
And so now I like to do that, you know, and go and compete. I was competing here. So I make first year, I was like winning the St. Tite and a couple other rodeo around here. And then I make the final in Oklahoma. And I was really proud to go to Oklahoma. I mean, you know, the old PRCA, the NFR was in Oklahoma City, and I went beyond the old chute down there, you know, and I was still there, you know, beyond the buildings, and, you know, it just impressed me, you know, and I said, that's kind of great, you know. Like, I went to Thomas Mack, you know, I always wanted to ride there, and I went in July 1 year. I was at 2009. I went to, you have a rodeo in July,
okay.
Or June, the end of June, the beginning of July, you have in Thomas Mack, you have a rodeo. And we 16 cowboys there. and the bareback riding. And at the 16, you have 13 guys who was making the NFR.
Wow.
Then.
Wow.
And I win the round that day at the 16 guys. But I hit the ground so hard, I said, well, maybe that's a good thing I was not making the finals here.
Harder ground there, was it?
The ground was very hard, you know, making an awesome ride. But when I hit the ground, it was pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you qualified for the International Finals Rodeo 7 times.
Yeah, that's what I did, 7 times, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that era. So you come back from Alberta and riding hard out west. What was it like to transition back? And how old are you in 2004 when you broke out hard in the IPRA?
I was 35, I think.
35.
36, yeah. 35, okay. 34, 94. Yeah, I think I was 34. Okay. No, not 34, 44, sorry.
You were 44 years old.
I was 44, yeah.
You were 44 years old when you made your first
transition, and I went to the IPRA finals, yeah.
Tell us about that year.
I won the Canadian Championship that year, and then I went to Oklahoma the same year, and that was a great year. I won the finals. And so I won both finals, Canadian finals and the IFR. So I was a great year.
Yeah, yeah. And then you qualified a total of 7 times, all in a row, right up through 2010.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my math right, your bareback riding career was like 30-some years long?
Yeah. 36 years or
36?
So.
36?
Yeah, about, yeah.
Wow. And what was it like, those finals? Who was running the gun? And Sean Miner talked about you. He talked about meeting you up in Western Canada early in his career.
Yeah. Well, I meet Sean, and I meet him. No, the first time I meet him was down south. Like, I was driving with Davey Jr. Schill, and Jr. was going to school with him. Like, those two are in college, and I was too old to be going to college. So I was just sitting in the trailer, you know, and waiting on those guys. So I finished school, and then we went back to practice and things like that. And that's when I met Sean the first time. He was riding in the PRCA. And then I see him back, you know, in 2004 when I went back when I went to the IPRA then.
Okay.
And that's where we see Sean again.
Yeah. And you won the average down there 3 times. 2004, 2005, and again 2008.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and Sean talked about those finals. He'd ride, you'd ride, and you're high fiving each other. You're just having fun. It's good bronc riding.
Yeah. Sean is he's good out around cowboy. He was riding, you know, South Brown and barebacks, and He's really tough on both even, you know, and he's a great cowboy. And he just, you know, like he went to the PRSU for many years, and then he just end up not doing so well. And then he quit a year or so, and then he came back, and then he just went at it, and he was doing really, really good.
Yeah, had a heck of a career.
Very nice career. Yeah.
And when did you meet Dale?
Dale, I met him, I think I was in 2004. And he present me the buckle, and I win it. And he said, Roger, he said, can I keep your buckle? I said, why? He said, I just would like to put your name on it, you know.
Oh.
So I said, that was very nice from Dale. You know, that was the first time I met Dale. And I thought he impressed me, you know, because most of the people give you a buckle, like any championship, they just go put your own name on it, you know,
really?
Want to, you know.
Okay.
So nobody ever want if I put my name on. I have to go to the store to where I'm making the buckles and to get him grab it, you know. And Dale, he asked me, and he said, I'll put your name on it. And I thought, you know, that's a gentleman, you know, that's somebody here.
Yeah. What do you remember, Dale, about meeting Roger in those early years when he came down south?
Well, and I had I'd heard stories about Roger and stuff. And then when I started to come to St. Tit was about the only rodeo that I came to in Canada back then when I was competing. But and to come here, where he now lives, but where it's close to where he grew up. And I mean, he's truly a legend here.
Yeah.
It's a legend in rodeo, but here and to come and see this and where he came from, sort of an experience that a little bit, it you know, I was just always impressed with, you know, bareback riding is the toughest event physically on, I mean, you know, everybody thinks about bull riding, and yeah, if you get stepped on by a bull, they're so big and all of that, and they, you know, mean and try to hook you, some of them, and all that. But really, the bareback riding is truly the hardest physically on your body, and to do it at that level for that long, I mean, it's just incredible. And so I kind of knew a little about him that way, and I thought, to have a career that long in that event, you know, he's got to have a lot of grit and try. And so then when I actually saw him and met him in person, all that stood true. You know, there wasn't any letdown. It wasn't a disappointment that, yeah, this old guy's just trying to hang on and get by for a little longer. Because I see people, right, in rodeo. Sure. We've seen people, sure, that maybe stay too long. And maybe, I hate to say disappointing, because everybody should choose when they leave on their own terms. But he still had it. He still had that fire in his eye and the grit and the determination. And it was very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And how many years did you compete here? When Dale's talking about St. Tite, how many years did you compete here?
Well, I was competing when I was a little younger, you know, when I started probably 18 to or probably 25, because I was 25 when I moved to the West, you know. Okay. And I came back here in 93 when I had lost a couple of friends. And then I went back west, and I came back when 2001, I think, to, no, not 2000, to, yeah, 2001, 2002, I think I came back, and that's when I came back.
How many St. Tite belt buckles do you have?
Oh, I don't know, I just probably six or seven times
six
I went
in,
you know,
times.
With the, when I was younger, like I was 24, 25, I went in one or twice, and then I went it a few times afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And your final ride here?
Funnel ride here, I was not great, you know, but I was winning the first weekend, and the second weekend I was fixing to win it again, and I just blew my basset, and I think that was, somebody was telling me to quit or something.
Okay.
You know, I mean, blew my bicep, and the Deb Greenway happened to him, and then I have to go in and got it fixed, and I went to the hospital, and the hospital was so full, you know, and he said, you know, if you got 40 something hours or 30 something hours to fix it, not even 40 hours, I think it was so many hours anyway, I don't remember, but if you don't get it fixed, you'll lose about 5 to 10% of your
strength,
you know.
Yeah.
So. And I went to the hospital, stayed there till 5 in the morning,
yeah,
and nobody could look after me, you know. So I went back home, and I went on the roof and stripped shingles again and put shingles on. And my son said, "Dad, you're a crazy son of a buck," you know. He said,
"Never got it treated. Never got treated.
So, you know, I got my bicep is here. My arm was pretty good arm because I was my riding arm, you know. And now the bicep is underneath my armpit, and that's how it is to it. But I'm still, you know, still strong at it, and I think I still can get on the horses.
You think so? Now, there is the over 60, you know, the senior division. Is it time to crack it back out? You've seen the new riggings. You're seeing these horses here. You got the urge to go?
I would love to try once, you know. I think, you know, I'm just thinking to try once every year, you know.
Yeah.
I said I should go and try because, I mean, you know, the breeding our days, you know, I mean, it's completely different, you know. I mean, I have so nice a horse, and in our days, you know, I was a big horse and duck and dive, and when I was trying out, I put him in the bronc riding, you know. But in the bareback riding, it was always like the wildy horse, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah,
always that's what we get, you know. And nowadays, it's just, you know, with the breeding or having, the horse, I was just put him a nose down the ground and are just kicking over her head, and they're just so nice, you know. It's,
yeah,
it's a little different in our days and now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you've seen the bareback riggings evolve over time. They're standing up taller than they ever have.
Yeah, unreal.
How would that have fit your style?
I'm not sure about it, you know. I have only to try, you know, but it's for sure, you know, I mean, the riggins, gloves, you know, everything changed quite a bit, you know, like,
yeah,
our days, you know, having, you know, good glove with tets on them in the back and the front, and we did have some little bit in our time, but it's a little bit different nowadays, you know, and I mean, the kids are having the true stock to ride with, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's a little different nowadays, you know.
Okay.
I started with a riggin with just a piece of leather when I started, you know, I mean, that was completely different than,
yeah,
when we,
yeah,
were younger, you know.
Yeah. And then you transitioned from that softer handled riggin to the more hard handled, and on you went.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've seen quite an evolution in,
oh,
that riggin.
Yeah, quite a bit. And the riggin and everything else, gloves, you know, spurs and all that, you know, it's a little different in our days, you know. And we have, you know, like, we're there, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, you know, and then everything grew up, you know, afterwards, you know. I mean, our days is something.
Yeah, yeah. And in 2012, icing goes on the cake. First and only Quebec cowboy in history to participate in the national championships, Canadian Professional Rodeo Association, but also the only one ever inducted into the Cowboy Hall of Fame, Canadian Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, 2012. Tell us about that.
Well, he came down here, and I never know about it. I think Sylvan, he kind of know because, I mean, that guy from down there, Lester Greenett, he came down here and he presented me, you know, to let me know I was going to be inducted at the Hall of Fame in Calgary. And I said, wow, I said, I never thought about it. You know, I mean, not because you win the championship a few times in the Stampede, you could be inducted, you know, and I thought you got to be somebody to be there, you know, and I guess I was somebody.
I guess you were.
He told me, you know, like, yeah, we're going to put you inducted in the 2012. And I was making something for myself, you know. I mean, I was something, accomplishment, you know. Like, not everybody do, you know. I mean, yeah. You know, you got to work hard all your life to get to something, yeah. You know. And yeah. And when it happened, I was something proud to myself.
Yeah, yeah. Something very proud of, yeah. And we were having lunch earlier today, and you said there's two things you said you would never do.
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing right now. You know, I mean, unreal. Yeah, I said, you know, as I was working, like I was a horseshoer, you know, when I was young, and I moved to Alberta, cannot speak English, and then I end up to go work on the roof, and first time I put a shingle up, and I never could put them up. I went up the ladder with it, and I was just dropping down the ladder, and I said, wow, man, I don't think I can get on the roof. And these guys come and get me by the ear. He said, hey, get there, and just your feet, and I get used to it, and you'll get used, and you'll be all right. And I said, I'm never going to do that, never. And judging, man, I always said judging are hard, you know, because when I was younger, you know, like at West, you know, like up paying four, I was end up fifth, and up paying six, I was end up seven. I was paying 10 guys, I was 11, you know, and tall. I said, man, why? And a contractor and people beyond the shoot, I was saying, Roger, you should win that rodeo or you should place deep, you know, and I was never placing. And then Lester Green, that is the guys put me to the Hall of Fame, and that judges, I went to see him, and I said, you know what? I said, I would like to tell you something. He said, you know, where are you born? It doesn't make a difference. Ain't my fault if I'm French. It's my mom's fault. If it's something you want to get at it, go get to my mom and cuss her, you know? Because me, I like to be born here, and I just want to be a cowboy. You know, I just, it ain't my fault I'm French, you know? You're born where you're born. You don't decide where you're born, you know? Yeah. You don't decide your family. You will decide your friend and your wife and everything else, but you don't decide your friends, you know? And after that, I don't know if he talked to the other judge, but every other rodeo, I was placing.
Okay.
And I was doing good, you know, but that's at the beginning, like, I'll give me a hard time. I don't know if you're because I was a French guy, but like I taught him, hang my foot if I'm French, you know.
Right.
Like I said, you're born where you're born. You don't decide where you're going to fall.
No.
You know, you're falling there, you're there, you know.
Yeah.
So it is to it.
So where'd you pick up all the English? Traveling partners?
Traveling
and
in Alberta, you know, start speaking a little bit. And then I learned it, you know, from the American guys down south. You know, I spent quite a bit of time with those guys. And like when I went to Alberta, like I was working in the Archer Mart, and the guy go, Roger, we'll get the cows. What the hell is the cows? He come and show me. I try to teach him print. That's the vash. That is the vash. Roger, go get a hammer. What's a hammer? Come and show me. Oh, that's a marteau. I was teaching in French to the English guy because I cannot speak in English, you know. And so that's end up that way. And then picking up a words there and the words there. And just the bad words, you know, are easy to catch, you know. Yeah. There was bad words. And then that's what I was saying, go get a pack of cigarettes. Can I have this? I don't think I can say it on the radio, but that was the word I was saying. Everybody was looking at me with the big eyes, you know. Bring your cows, you know, and bring your... And people were thinking, that guy's got a dirty mouth, you know. But like, when you're French, you just don't know. Those words are just easy to catch, you know, and that's the only words I was saying, you know. And And now I try to be a little more careful at it.
Yeah, you've done a good job here today. Very, very good job. And talk about the kids. We got Spur competing here, 3 times qualifier to the International Finals Rodeo. Talk a little bit about Spur and Cash and Cheyenne.
Yeah, I got 3 kids, 3 beautiful kids, and they're good kids. And, you know, I love them to death, you know. And Spur is my older one, you know, and he's traveling with me as a baby. Like, his mom just never want me to take him on the road, and I hire a guy, you know, Dan David's dad. And I said, yeah, because I never see my kid too often. Because, I mean, at your rodeo, and out of 365 days, you're 200 days on the road, you know.
Yeah.
So you're not often home. So when you get a brand new baby, sooner or later you want to take him, you know. And my wife just never want to be on the road. Like, she takes an hour and a half drive, and it's the end of the world, you know. And we have traveling in rodeo like day 12, 14, 16, non-sleep, and you be on the road, you know. So the kid, he was like 3 months or older, and he was really young, and I took him with me, you know, for 3 weeks. And she said, what happened if he got hurt, you know? I said, that kid is maybe more popular than I could be. You'll send him to buy a payroll later. You'll have him on the mail and pretty quick. Don't worry about it, you know? She was always scared, you know?
Yeah. And he got started, and how have you been able to help him in his bareback riding career?
Well, just here, I do a rodeo school in St. Tite for 19 years, you know? And that's why I have a bunch of little kids just playing with Spur, and we call them the young guns, you know, 5 of them, you know, and that's when they did my rodeo school for 2 to 3 years, and then those kids start to go out west and then start rodeoing, you know, and Spur, you know, he's growing up, you know, he's 31 now, and he should be a little higher than where he was right now, but he's got beautiful feet, and he's missing just a little bit the aggressivity on him, a little bit to ride bucking horses, but sooner or later, you know, if you don't ever quit, you know, and if you want something, you know, if you work hard at it, I think you can get it.
Okay. And I know you got to get going. You got to get back in and do that one thing you said you'd never do, which is judge.
That's right.
You got to get back in the arena.
I always said judges, man, how stupid it can be to be a judge, you know, I mean, sometimes more blind or what? But no, I am the blind man, you know.
Are you?
I am the special guys. That's why I call them then, you know. Like, judges are special, you know. I decide what I want to do, or I don't know. You know? I mean, I always said, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm doing the roofing business.
Yeah.
I have my own business, and I'm the judging rodeo too.
Yeah.
So 2 things I said I'm never going to do. So I'm telling people, don't ever say, never.
Yeah.
Because for sure, that's what you're going to do.
That's right. And are you still loving it?
I'm loving it. I enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, you bet.
Good. So some real quick fire questions, okay? What's the best rodeo advice you ever received, and who gave it to you?
Say what again? Sorry.
What was the best rodeo advice, best advice you ever got, and who gave it to you?
I think Robin Burwash. Robin, he always said, you know, I mean, if you put your name on a hat, go get him. He said, you know, a lot of time people are turning out horses because he's a bad horse and this and that. But he said, that horse has been turned out so many times, he's got to be fresh.
Yeah.
If that horse has been bred to be buck,
yeah,
I mean, maybe it may be a dirty and tough horse to ride, but he'll be fresh. And if you get down, you need 1 point. And the points count for to go to finals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why you got to go and get on horses. Okay. You know, was one of the good things I hear.
Okay. And you had a long, huge, long career. If you could ride any bareback bronc, past or present, which one would it be and why?
Blue Ridge. I mean, that horse was a phenomenal. Shane Franklin. At the Franklin Rodeo Company, and I mean, Billy Boy, the year before I went, you have him in the top 4 finals, and the horse went down the chute because he was miserable in the bucking chute, and that horse went down, and he took the re-ride, you know, and I mean, the re-ride, he never went nothing with it, and I think that horse, like, when I have him, I said to Shane, I said, I don't care if that horse flip on me, I will knock my head, I'll take him down, I'll take him anywhere. I mean, I said, you know, a horse like that, you have to take the opportunity to get down and rod him, and you have a good shot to win something out of it, you know.
Okay.
And he was kind of calm with me, and everything was fine, so I went and went it.
If your rodeo career were made into a movie, what would be the title of the movie?
Easy Roger.
I like that. Easy Roger. Easy Roger. And who would play you?
I don't know.
Brad Pitt or...
I don't know, Brad Pitt. Yeah, it could be Brad Pitt.
Could be Brad Pitt. Okay. And which belt buckle are you wearing today and why?
I don't know. One of my best buckles I have is Bob Bear is San Antonio. It's a great buckle. That day when I win it, I was split it. We were two guys to win San Antonio. And he asked us $5,000 or the buckle. And then I said, well, $5,000, I'll spend that pretty quick. I said, no, I better take the buckle. So I took the buckle and the other guy said, I want the buckle too. So I said, well, you know, I said, just because I'm from Canada, to send me the buckle home, it'll take forever, yeah. And I have to pay duty on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he offered me $5,000, so the buckle's worth a lot of money. So I said, you know, I better, you know, take the buckle, and I'll keep it forever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my best buckles is San Antonio, but Canadian Finals are a great buckle. I have the IFR buckle, too, and, you know, sometimes I'm changing buckles.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And which one today?
This one is a 2004 CFR, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good year.
That was a great year.
Kind of like a fine wine.
That's right.
Very, very good year.
Yeah.
Finally, advice. What advice you give to a youngster today coming up in rodeo, whatever the event?
Well, you know, like I said before, you know, if you do something, you know, put yourself to 100% in it. And then if you got your mind at the right place, I think a guy should have success out of it, you know. I mean, if you're not there, you know, you have a lot of things going through your head, you know, and it's normal too. I mean, human beings are running 100 miles an hour, yep. You know. And yep. But if you know, put the effort to it, you know, what do you want to do and yeah. accomplish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you can accomplish it because you put so many times on it and so many hours on it. I think you guys can have success with it.
Okay, great advice. We got a lot more to cover. I know you got to get back to work. They're going to be calling you.
Yeah,
they're going to penalize you.
Somewhere
they're going to fine you. Yeah. All that good stuff. So maybe another day. Maybe another day.
Yeah, maybe another day we can do it again. I really appreciate it.
All right, perfect. And to our listeners, we hope that you enjoyed this episode of our podcast with Roger Lacoste, CPRA, Hall of Fame Rodeo Cowboy. If you do, please share it with your friends. To make your listening easier, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, YouTube, search for Beyond the Chutes and follow us. Thank you to Parasite Systems for their support with our podcast. Now they have mail-in testing, so all you got to do is go online to parasitesystems.com and don't forget we have that coupon BTC023 for 50% off your mail-in testing on your cattle, on your horses, on your dogs and your cats. This is Beyond the Chutes with
Roger Lacoste
and
Dale Juergen.
Until next time, this is Doug Simcox. Thank you for listening.